1 Timothy chapter 4 contains a verse that's often brought up when talking about young people in the church. Paul tells Timothy, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young." And when I was young, I was told this as a way to be bold. You know, don't let people put you down. And as I was reading it again and reflecting on it, because it's hard not to go back to that when teaching young people. As a youth and families worker, it's in my job to want to empower young people. So I often reflect on these verses. And probably for the first time, and unfortunately so, the first two verses of chapter 5 caught my eye. And obviously when the New Testament was written, there are no chapters and verses in them originally. And so we've artificially put a paragraph between the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5 when Paul says, don't talk harshly to an older man. Talk to younger men as your brothers. Don't speak harshly to an older woman, but as your mother, and don't talk angrily to younger women. And that verse is very important for adding balance. And again, as I was reflecting on these verses, I reflect on the question I'm often asked in my job, which is, what do young people want? What do young people want in a church? Why aren't they here? Why are they over there? Why do they do this? Why do they do that? And often I don't have good answers. I unfortunately am not the spokesperson for all people under 30 in the entire world. I wish I was, because if people would listen to me, then that would be really good. But people don't listen to me, so I'll speak for myself this morning. I've titled the theme of our service, "What Does the Future of the Church Really Want?" But really it should be titled, "What Does Peter Think the Future of the Church Really Wants?" Because the real answer is we don't really know, because everyone's different. And just as everyone in this room has different tastes and feelings and opinions on certain things, so do people under the age of 25. I'm not under 25 anymore. Young people are not a monolith of culture that all want one thing and swim as a school of fish. Yeah, certainly it looks like that sometimes, but for the most part, lots of people want lots of different things. So what I thought I would try and do this morning is boil some research from a few different places down that has actually gotten into what do young people want. It comes a bit from a study of my own experience and other people I know who work in churches, who have grown up in churches of different denominations, and their experience of church, as well as research done by a group of really good researchers at the Fuller Youth Institute in California, who have done a study and published it recently of over 200 some churches in the U.S. who are reaching young people to try and get at what they do well. And surprise, surprise, they're not all rock band worship evangelicals. In fact, for the most part, they're not. They're a mix of every denomination, of every style of worship, and of every age, a new church plant, 100-year-old churches. They're a mix of size of 5,000 down to 100. The answer is there isn't one type of church that's reaching out to young people. So I'll give you four words that I think that young people do look for in a church. And these are not unique to us. We are not the first to do this. I think every generation thinks that they invented music and sex and humor and all of those things. And I'm not naive enough to think that our generation is the first to want these in a church, just as some of you were younger, the things you wanted in church might have been quite similar to this, but it's good to revisit them. The first thing we want is authenticity. That's the first word I'll give you, which basically just means a warm welcome. But it's more than that. It's also community. It's sharing life. It's sharing meals. It's sharing hardship and victories in our life. It's warm welcome. It's community. It's being greeted at the door. It's spending coffee time together. It's going into people's homes. That's nothing new. We've been doing that for a long time. But we don't want to go to church anymore. And I'll stop using we now because I don't think that's helpful. A lot of people all over the world in all sorts of age groups don't want to go to church anymore just because it's the done thing. We're a bit past that, and maybe unfortunately, maybe not. But we don't go anymore because that's what you do on a Sunday morning. We go and we choose to go when it's worthwhile, when we want to go to a community that draws people in, that welcomes us, where we feel at home, where we feel family. The church I grew up in that really shaped my faith, not because of any of their theology or worship or any of that, but because it was a family. And I grew up, and as I grew up, there were men and women in the church who were my Sunday school teachers, who I still go back, and when I see them, they remember me, and they see me, and they say hello. And I am amazed at how old they look now. But they're lovely, lovely people who shaped my faith as a child into a teenager and into a young adult. And because it feels like family, they feel like my extended family. And that authenticity is what we want. None of these words I'm giving are critiques against our own church or against another church. We do some of these things very well. We do some not as well. But we can always reflect on what we can do better. We don't want a club that we attend in a church. I think people want a family in a church. I think that people want content in a church. That's my second word, content. The first is authenticity. The second is content. This day and age, we have an insane amount of access to information. Wikipedia, maybe once upon a time, was a bit dubious of a source, but the way that it's fact-checked now, it can have some mistakes, but they're referencing everything. It is one of the greatest inventions of modern history, this online encyclopedia that has so many articles, so much information, so much of it really well documented. And that's a tiny sliver of information we have access to. We have access to Bible commentaries and Bible translations and information about churches and other religions all over the world. We can listen to sermons in places in Nigeria, or in California, or in Japan, or in Australia. We can watch services, we can live stream everything. We have access to so much information. And the thing that this is us as humanity, we want truth, we want real answers. We have access to information, and we don't need to be pandered to. We know the world isn't a cakewalk. We know it's not easy, and we don't want our truth sugar-coated, and we don't want our Jesus neutered. We want content. We want real answers. There's a story of a young man called Steve, who's about 13 years old, and he's in his church. And he's thinking a lot about some different things. He's starting to get deep into his faith a bit, and he's thinking, he's had a bit of a hard life. He's had some family troubles, but mostly his life's okay. But he goes to his pastor and he thinks, so why has some of this happened to me? Does God see me? That's what he asks. Does God know that I'm here? And the pastor says, yes, of course. God sees you. God knows you. And Steve says, well, what about, the pictures that I see on TV or the pictures you show of starving children in Africa? That old stereotype. What about them? Does God see them? And the pastor goes, well, yes, God sees them too. And Steve says, but what's being done? What is God going to do? And the pastor says, well, God's ways are not our ways. God's mysterious. We can't know what God does. And that's okay, where it's not for us to know. That wasn't the answer Steve needed, because it's not necessarily the question he's asking. He's asking deep questions. He's asking about God and the world and how we interact with the world. That young boy called Steve, his surname is Jobs, and Steve Jobs grew up to be the CEO of Apple and never set foot in a church after that conversation. And I wonder what could have been different for someone like that if he had not been given a trite and sugar-coated response about unknowable mysteries, but perhaps given a real answer about, we don't necessarily know, but some people are working and some people are doing this, but ultimately we're not doing enough. We are the hands and feet of God, and maybe if content wasn't sugar-coated, things might have been different for Steve. That leads really well into the third word I want to give you, which is reality. I think what people, again, not just young people, this isn't unique to us, but all people, we want reality. We want our faith to make a real difference in the world. We don't want to compartmentalize. We don't want to put our faith and morality and daily life on one side, and global politics and global events on the other. We see all of these things working together. And when I cast a vote, I don't vote for faith or because of faith, but my vote is impacted by what I believe. I believe that Jesus made a difference in the real world. He didn't just talk about things that were ethereal and out there somewhere, but he was a person who rattled those who were in power, and they ended up executing him for it. And they didn't just execute him, they gave him the death that was only reserved for rebels and insurrectionists and political revolutionaries. That was how they saw him. He shook up the world, not because he was just concerned about politics, but because what he believed about God impacted how he behaved in the world. And I think people all over the world these days don't see a way to compartmentalize, and I don't think we should. We see things like refugees traveling all over the world trying to find a home. We see racism bubbling up from places we thought we had it well and truly buried. We see the ongoing problem of gender equality and the ever worsening problem of climate change. We see these as related to faith and related to how we see our relationship with God. We cannot separate how we behave as humans in the world from the way we see ourselves relating to this God. And again, I'm not offering these words in any way as a critique to us here or critique to anyone in any other church near us. I think we do some of these things very well. I think when we sit in church, one of the reasons that people do like this church, I think Ewan and his sermons does do a lot of these things very, very well. I just want to give it to you all in one neat little package. The fourth word, and this is a really important word, and this might be where some churches fall down the most, is the word mentorship. So we have authenticity, content, reality, and my fourth word is mentorship. We do want to spend time with people older than us, I'm speaking again as young people, and interact with people who are not our age. It's important, it's terribly important. And I say this as the youth and families worker who just watched our young people walk out of the church. But they're with those older than them. They're being mentored. And as young people grow, we want to spend time with people who are not our age. We want you to talk about your faith to us, to give us your wisdom, to tell us about the life you've lived. One of the reasons that we did the cake-off, if any of you have ever been to the Great Colts cake-off that we've done twice now, the decorating of cakes where we have a young person partnered with someone older than them, one of the reasons we do that is because we think it's important to have intergenerational ministry, because not only sharing skills with cake, which I'm amazed at Keith's skill when he comes out with a protractor and a ruler and he's got everything, and it's amazing, and those skills need to be passed on because we need that. But it's not just about cake, it's about life and it's about faith, and we do the cake off so we can lead to other mentorship, other times where we can share life and share faith, because the one thing young people do not want is a church with just young people. Some young people might think they want that, but that's not what we want. That's not what we need, and that's not the church. The church has people from every age and every background in it. That's the church. And we need people of every age from every background, because that's what makes us healthy. The cake-off is a small example, but it goes both ways. We also want to be useful. As much as we do, we want mentorship, we want that, but we also want our voices heard as young people. In the Church of Scotland, there is a National Youth Assembly, but at times I wonder how much the voice of the National Youth Assembly is heard, or if it's merely allowed, if that makes sense. I'm not an expert on the National Youth Assembly, and I don't want to speak too much about it, but one of the things that churches who are reaching young people do is allow young people to have a role, to have a voice, to have an ability to be useful. Not just programs for people, but programs that people can get involved in. Things that people do, things like reading from the stage, things like being involved in core groups, and that's what we're trying to do. And life is busy, and life keeps us from doing things like that, but really, what we want is a two-way mentorship. We want to be mentored, but we also want to have voices heard. And again, I'm probably using the word we too much. I'm not speaking on behalf of everyone. I'm speaking a bit on behalf of myself and from my own experience. And when I say we, I want to say again, this is not unique. We're not new. We're not special in this way. These are things that people have wanted for centuries in a church. But sometimes we need to revisit what we want, because like I said, this isn't a time where you go to church because it's Sunday morning. And we need to know what to do as a church. You've noticed that none of those things involved an electric guitar. They didn't. None of those things involved dark lighting or cool speakers. Things that church can do to reach young people, it might look like that, but some churches that do have a rock band and do have music, part of the reason they reach young people is not just because of the music, though that appeals to people, but it also appeals because they're valuing the input and the role of young people, and they want to do things for them. I've spoken with some of our young people who honestly feel uncomfortable in a worship service like that. And to a point, I do as well. And we like a church sitting like this with our hymnal. It's comfortable for some people. It's not just about the looks. And I think we get focused on what things look like. And we need to get under the hood a bit. And we need to keep moving forward. It's not progress. It's not blind progress. We don't just want to move forward. And like Paul reminds Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but at the same time, respect your elders. Don't speak harshly to an older man, but speak to him as you would your father. Don't argue or speak harshly with an older woman. Speak to her as you would your mother. This isn't about young people rising up and grasping the church back because we want control. It's about the church as a whole body, as a healthy body, that has respect and love and input from all members, from all walks of life, of all ages. It's forward, it's looking forward in faith, not blindly, it's looking forward. It's evolving, it's changing, it's becoming a true reflection of the church, of the church becoming the true reflection of God. That's what it's about. It's not rocket science, what young people want, and young people don't maybe want all of that. They want some more than others. We don't know what we want. That's part of being young. But these are some things that I think that when churches do these four things, authenticity, content, reality, and mentorship, we will by nature reach people of all ages, of all backgrounds. Because those four things make for a really good church. And I think this is a really good church. I do. I'm not standing up here thinking that I'm calling this church out for failure. I think we do actually a lot of these things quite well. And I want to encourage us to continue to do these things and just be focused. Because let's move forward together. We're not leaving anyone behind here, but we're moving forward together in faith.